Welcome to Jeremiah Smith Ministries, a place where you can grow in God's Word. Well, we are live. Praise the Lord. How are you doing today? Are you doing good? Well, hey, this is Jeremiah Smith, and I'm so glad to get to be with you today. I hope that you've had a good week. I hope that you've had a good weekend this weekend, getting ready for a great Easter weekend. Are you pumped up and ready to go? Well, hey, it's a wonderful time coming, Easter, and I hope that you're thrilled about that. We'll try to have a special Easter service, and I'm so glad that I get to spend time with you today, and I hope that you're pumped up about the Word of God today. Praise the Lord. You know, God is good, and He is good all the time. Amen. It doesn't matter how you feel. Doesn't matter what your circumstance looks like today. You know, God is good all the time. Praise the Lord. So we're going to go ahead and get into the Word today. I hope that you're pumped up and ready to go. I don't believe that you just happened to tune in by accident. I don't believe you just happened to get here. I believe that the Holy Spirit drew you here. The Bible says, if I be lifted up, I draw all men unto me, you know, and I believe the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us, you know, in His perfect love. And we're just thankful for the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. You can catch us on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Central Time. You can catch us on Sundays at 4 p.m. Central Time. Sometimes we're a little late. We try to be right at those times, but you're welcome to catch us live at those times each week. Praise the Lord. And of course, you can listen to the rebroadcast on Spotify, Google Music, iTunes, Listen Notes, Podbean, TuneIn off Alexia, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Deezer, all kinds of different places. You can check those out at jeremiahsmithministries.podbean.com. And of course, we're live right now on YouTube, praise the Lord, or we're being videotaped for YouTube, and you can watch that video rebroadcast at 9 p.m., praise the Lord, and so you can check that out, and if you like the videos, we've got many videos, hundreds of videos on there, and you can go through and watch me smiling and teaching the Word, amen, amen, and have a good time listening to us. So we're going to have a good time today in the Word, and we're going to listen to the Holy Spirit as we teach the Word today. If you'd like to give, there's no pressure to give, but you can give. Go to jeremiahsmithministries.podbean.com and hit the giving tab if you'd like to give. You know, you can't outgive God. Amen. You know, the Bible says in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. No, it's pressed down, you know. I don't know about you, you know, but when I get into the trash can, I try to push it down. I like to use my foot if I need to, squish it down, you know, to get all I can get in there. And after a while, you have to be careful about it running over. Well, you know, yeah, the Bible says that He likes to press it down, shake it together, and run it over, praise the Lord, in your life. You know, so if you're lacking today and you don't have what you need, make sure you're giving somewhere. Amen. And your ground that you give is important. Make sure that you're giving in good ground, you know. A good farmer knows that you got to plant it in good ground. And so, you know, you're going to get great harvest if you're planting your seed in good ground. Amen. And this is God's law. Galatians 6:7 says, do not be deceived. God's not mocked. He will not allow Himself to be ridiculed or nor treated with contempt, nor allow His precepts to be scornfully set aside. For whatever a man sows, this only will he reap, you know. And so notice, though, you're in charge of your world. You're in charge of you getting things in your life that you need to have. You're in charge of you having love in your life. You're in charge of you having peace in your life. You're in charge of giving something today. Amen. If you don't have friends, you're in charge of that, you know. And, you know, we can blame God and blame Him for everything, you know, blame the devil, and the devil didn't even do it. You've got to do something yourself. Amen. You have to step out of the comfort zone and give, praise the Lord. If you're lacking today in some area, what are you giving, you know? We're supposed to be giving in all areas and make sure that we're giving to everything that we need to give to so that we receive in every area that we're supposed to have, praise the Lord. You say, well, man, Jeremiah, you shouldn't be mentioning giving and trying to get something, you know? You know, God does. He gave to get something. You know, He gave Jesus to get you. Amen. And so we'd be calling Him selfish, wouldn't we? You know, He gives to get. Amen. And He presented us that law so that we could have the things that we need to have in our lives. He told Adam about the seeds that he would reap the harvest. Amen. You know, it's just something funny about something when you talk about giving, you can get right up into people's business, you know, when you talk about giving and they get all upset, you know, but it's important that you give. Amen. What have you given today? What kind of love? What have you given somebody a phone call? Have you shown some love to somebody? What have you done today to be a blessing to somebody's world today? Praise the Lord. Or you just keep to yourself and you wonder why no one ever comes to see you? Well, are you going to see somebody? Well, you know, God will bless you as you do things for Him. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, you know, get your Bible, get your tablet, get your phone. I hope you're pumped up today. You know, God wants you to have things. He wants to bless you in your life, not just for the things to, for you just to have stuff, but you're learning to depend on Him. He's the one. He says, you plant the seed, right? We plant the seed, you know, and God, He brings the harvest. Amen. You know, it's a supernatural thing when you see a seed out there being planted and you see the harvest come up, because God, that shows you there's a God of the universe. Amen. He's the God of the harvest. Amen. He's the supernatural energy behind making that seed coming up. He's the supernatural power to make that seed come up in natural life. Amen. And in your life, you get to learn to trust Him by faith. In every area of your life, you get to see His supernatural harvest in your life. You know, He's the God of the harvest. If He didn't give you the harvest, you wouldn't have nothing. Amen. But He's a God that you can trust and have some faith, and He'll bring some harvest into your life if you let Him do that. Praise the Lord. We've been talking about not too long ago about every day's a blessing day. Well, you know, if you want every day to be a blessing in your life, you got to do something. You have to do something. You know, God's not just going to sit there and, you know, do everything. You have to do something. He had Abraham give his son, right, so that he could bring his son into the world. You know, think about that today. You know, he's all about seeds and you sowing, right? I was listening to a minister one time. He said, every time I go to pray, it seems like God talks to me about sowing and reaping, you know. And it's interesting because, you know, you go to prayer and He say, forgive this person. You go to prayer, He says to love this person. You go to prayer, He tells you to go do something. Well, most of the time it's about seed time and harvest, right? Because He knows that law works and it'll bring good effects into your life. Praise the Lord. Well, let's get into the Word today. Get your Bible, get your tablet, get your phone. Are you ready? Man, we haven't even got into the message, had we? We're going to have a good time. I'm so glad you joined me all around the world. Amen. I saw one pop in just a minute ago there into the live service. We'll be having them come in and out there, and we just hope that you get to join us. If you'd like to join us on the live service, feel free. You can always join us at Podbeam, and that's jeremiahsmithministries.podbeam.com, and you can find the link there in the media tab, I believe it is, and you can join the live service if you'd like to do that. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to go ahead and pray. Excuse me. Before we get into the Word, we're talking today, I hope, one of the most important truths that you can have be told to you in your life. I believe that this is one of those things that your kids need to know, you need to know, that we're going to be talking about one of the most important things that you need to know in your life, and we'll be getting into part two of it. We talked about it last week. We're getting into part two today, and I believe that it'll help you today, maybe answer some questions for you, maybe make you help you in your circumstances today, and so get ready. It's going to be good. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You, Father, for Your goodness. We thank You, Father, for Your mercy. You're faithful, Father, in every way, Father. We just thank You for that. We trust in You, and we just give You all the praise and all the glory for getting to be here today. Holy Spirit, have Your way. We just thank You, Father, for that today. We thank You for Liam praying before I even started today. We just joined in agreement with him. This is going to be a great service. And Father, we ask that Your Holy Spirit be our teacher, be our help, be our standby. Flood us with light. Help us to see some things we've never seen before today. Help no one to leave without getting what they need today. And we just thank You, Father, for that. We give You all the praise and all the glory. And Father, before we go, we minister to You. Thank You for touching our families and touching us and taking care of us, Father. Keeping us off the streets, Father, and making sure we have the things we need today. And Father, being faithful to us and being our comforter and our help and our standby, never leaving us alone, Father. And we just thank You, Father, for it in Jesus' name. And we give You the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we get in our message, I felt led to go to Psalms 139. Let's go over there real quick. Psalms 139. You say, well, Jeremiah, he doesn't know I'm here. He didn't even know I'm right here where I'm at today, does he? Does he know where you're at today? Does he care with what's going on to you today? Does he know what's going on in your world? He does. Amen, he does. Let's look at that real quick here in Psalms 139. Notice what the psalmist says here. He says, oh, Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Amen, He knows you, doesn't He? He created you. He searches you. He knows you. He knows that stuff that you're into and what you're doing right there today. And He still loves you. Aren't you glad about that today? Maybe you haven't done anything wrong or you're not doing some crazy stuff, you know. He still loves you right there where you're at today. Maybe you're just lonely. and he loves you, right? He searches you and he knows you. In the second verse is, thou knowest my downsetting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. All that stuff you're thinking about today, he understands your thoughts, even afar off. Amen. And he's still close to you. He's living inside you. If you're born again today, you know, think about that today. He's everywhere at one time. Amen. You know, he's right there. He knows your thoughts. He knows your downsetting, knows your uprising, understands your thoughts afar off. Thou compass my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. You know, there's nothing shocking about you to God. He's acquainted with all your ways, whatever you're doing today, whatever you're going through today, he's acquainted with it. Amen. He understands it better than you understand it. He understands you better than you understand you. He made you, right? And he's acquainted with you. Aren't you glad he's acquainted with you? Amen. He knows you. Understands your thoughts. He's not shocked by what you're thinking. He cares about what you're into and what you're doing today. He's acquainted with everything that you're doing. The fourth verse says, for there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. He knows the stuff you're going to say before you say it. Right? Think about that a little bit there today. You know, he knows what you're going to say it even before you say it. He's been watching you. And he cares about you, and he loves you, and he knows even what's before it comes off your tongue, what you're going to say, and he's talking to you about it. Amen. The fourth verse says here, fifth verse is that thou beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, and I cannot attain unto it. Whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I lay my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Isn't that good? He's everywhere, and he'll hold you, and he'll love you wherever you're at today, whatever part of the world where you're at today, and whatever you're dealing with today, he'll hold you and love you right there where you're at today. You know, you don't have to be alone and deal with not have peace, not have joy in your life. Right? He's there where you're at, and he cares about you. He cares about what comes out of your mouth, what you're thinking about when you get up in the morning, when you go to bed, right? He doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber, and he cares about you. The ninth verse says, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, and thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Think about that today. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. Think about all the blood cells in your body and how you're made, how your arms work and how you can talk and how you can do all the things that you do. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. And it's not by accident. You didn't come from an ape. You weren't from some big bang. No, those things weren't thought out to make you who you are. You're somebody special, right? And you're so special that Jesus died for you. You say, how important is that? Well, you know, that all the money in the world couldn't have been given for you. All the gold in the world couldn't be given for you. All the silver in the world, nothing more, anything precious couldn't have been given for you. Only Jesus' blood could have been given for you to pay you the price for you. Think about that today. Praise the Lord. Well, and we're getting into Easter, so that kind of goes right along with that. The 14th verse says, I will praise thee, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curious wrought in the lower parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. I like that. Unperfect in thy book, and all my members were written, which is the countenance were fashioned when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, God. How great is the sum of them. I love this right here. He says, if I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Think about that. His thoughts are like the sand. God has lots of thoughts, right? think about the sand and a grain of sand, just the grain of sand, how many pieces of sand are in a grain of sand, you know, but his thoughts are as the sand, numerous thoughts. He can work out your situation more than a million ways. He can change the circumstance more than a million ways. It's not hard for him. He's thinking about it right now. Amen. He knows how to work it out right now. All those things you lay sleepless at night about, he's not worried about it. He knows how to work it out. He has the thoughts as the sand on the seashore. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O Lord. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not hate them, O Lord, that hate thee, and I am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee. I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. And that kind of goes right with our message today, right? Lead me in the way that's everlasting. You know, there's an everlasting way, right, with Jesus. There's an everlasting way that we can be going with our lives. There's an everlasting way that God can guide you, you know, if you'll let him lead you in an everlasting way, right? He's the leading and the guiding of us. He'll keep you safe. He'll keep you protected, you know. God's been doing this with people for centuries and years. It's not hard for him to lead you in this life. It's not hard for him to guide you in the right directions in this life if you'll let the Holy Spirit guide you and direct you. Do you believe that today? Could the Holy Spirit guide you today? Could the Holy Spirit guide you into the way you need to go today, you know? You know, our minds like to guide us. Our feelings like to guide us. Our emotions like to guide us. But we're supposed to be led by the Holy Spirit. Live our lives lived by the Holy Spirit. Now, you don't hear this teaching a whole lot in a lot of churches, you know, but the Holy Spirit's supposed to be our guide. He's supposed to direct us in all of our affairs in this life, right? So this message is important for you. It's important for your kids. It's important for everybody that you can talk to about this. Amen. The Holy Spirit is supposed to be the one that leads us and guides us, not our feelings and our intellect, right? Not what we think about things, but we're supposed to let the Holy Spirit be our leader and our guide in everything. We all think we have the answers. We all think that we know what to do in every circumstance, and God did give us a brain for a reason. Don't get me wrong, because then you get people that are so heavenly minded, they're not earthly good, you know, but we're not supposed to override the Holy Spirit. He's supposed to be our leader. He's the leader. When he's the guide of everything that we do, praise the Lord. Amen. We make our plans, but the Holy Spirit directs our steps, right? Isn't that what the scripture says? And so we're supposed to let the Holy Spirit be our guide, not just what we want to do. We're supposed to let the Holy Spirit be our guide in everything that we do, praise the Lord. Romans 8:14, and we're going to get into our message today. Romans 8:14 says it like this, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Notice how he says that. He says that they are the sons of God. The ones that are led by his Holy Spirit are the sons of God. That would disqualify probably 90% of Christians if we're not careful, because we're supposed to be led by him in everything that we do. You know, you get up and you're hateful. Well, you're not being led by him. If you get up and you're giving and you're loving, well, you're being more led by him, right? If you're going by your flesh and everything that you do, then you're not being led by him. It's easy to tell if somebody's being led by the Spirit, because they're going to be led by the Word. They're going to be doing what Jesus did, because he did. His whole life was based on being led by the Holy Spirit in everything that he did. He was the perfect example of being led by the Holy Spirit. I don't remember him ever cussing somebody out. I don't remember him just going up and slapping somebody, right? He was led in everything that he did with perfect love. And he showed perfect love, and he didn't do everything he wanted to do, you know, because I'm sure he would have not mind striking some people down, you know, but he showed them love. And sometimes he'd give them tough love, and sometimes he would give them good insight, you know, but he was led by the Holy Spirit with all of his life. And that's what we get to see in the four Gospels, of how to be led by the Holy Spirit. And we see a great example of that with him and his disciples. We get to see how to be led by the Holy Spirit. That's what's so great about the Gospels, and that's so great about Paul's teachings and John and Peter, we get to see what it's like to be led by the Holy Spirit. Amen. I don't believe it made it into this book if it wasn't something being led by the, even the people putting the book together were led by the Holy Spirit, the Bible, you know, and our lives are supposed to be based on being led by the Holy Spirit in everything that we do, right? And, or we're not the sons of God, right? He can choose who you are and pick you out pretty easy because you're being led by the Holy Spirit, you know, and you can see that other people can pick you out and choose who you are pretty easy when they see that you're being led by the Holy Spirit in your life. You know, there's certain things we should be seeing about you. There's certain things God should be seeing about you in your life if you're being led by the Holy Spirit. You're not going to want to cheat. You're not going to want to lie, right? You know, you're going to have good success because your steps are being ordered by the Holy Spirit. Think about that today. You know, our lives are to be directed by Him, and that's what the Scripture talks about. Let's look at the Message version of that. Romans 8:14 says it like this, "So don't you see that we don't owe this old do-it-yourself life one red cent? There's nothing in it for us, nothing at all. The best thing to do is give it a decent burial and get on with your new life. God's Spirit beckons, and there are things to do and places to go." You know, His things are supposed to be the most important things in your life, right? Oh, it's important to have a job. Hey, it's important to take care of your family. It's important to do all the things that we're supposed to do, of course, but the number one thing is to be led by the Holy Spirit. What is your purpose today? What is it that God's leading you to do today? What is that important thing that He has for you? Like, you know, you're not supposed to be just living life, right? Just every day getting up, going to your job. No, you're supposed to be living a purpose-filled life, and the Holy Spirit gives you that kind of life, doesn't it? You know, you should be thinking about what He's leading you to do. What is it that He's talking to you about? And you can't sleep at night because He keeps talking to you over and over and over about it, right? What is it that he deals with you about, you know, to get you on track with your destiny? You know, what is the Holy Spirit talking to you about? Praise the Lord, you know. People can tell, you know, when you're on track with the Holy Spirit. They can see certain things about the fruits of what your life is like by being led by the Holy Spirit. You know, He's going to lead you into success. He's going to lead you into happiness and joy. If your marriage is horrible, you know, that tells you about if you're being led or not, you know, because it should be good. You should be showing joy and love to each other. You know, if you want a good, successful marriage, you got to show love, right? You got to be led by the Holy Spirit. That means sometimes you're not going to do what you want to do. You're going to do what the other person wants you to do. And you're going to show love, right? If your friendships are not working out, that can tell you probably a lot about you being led by the Holy Spirit, because you should be showing love. It's not about you or him or the other person. It's about being led by the Holy Spirit, right? Not just what we want, but what the Holy Spirit wants for our lives. Amen. The one who's living a Spirit-led life. I like what one person said. He said, the answer to 101 questions is be led. Isn't that good? Answer to 101 questions is to be led. Are you being led today by the Holy Spirit? You know, and if you listen to the Holy Spirit, you can get the answers that you need for any circumstance, the direction. You know, I remember Brother Hagin saying one time, he says, I go by just much but what he doesn't say is by what he does say. You know, even when he's not saying something, he's saying something to you, right? You know, and that's a really important statement, because, you know, if he's not saying stop, or if he's not keeping you from doing something, or if he's letting you do what you need to do, you know, everything must be okay, you know, or he would stop. I mean, I believe he would paint you a picture. He'd grab your spirit. He can get your attention in so many ways, you know, and direct you, you know, because he'll keep you from danger and lead and direct you, keep you safe. But you got to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit. Are you being led by the Spirit today? You can say this with me. I'm always at the right place at the right time. Isn't that good? That's a great statement, isn't it? I'm always at the right place at the right time. That's good. That's being led by the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Psalms 37:23 says it like this. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Think about that. The steps of a good man or ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. You say, well, can I be led by the Spirit every day? Yes, you can, right? And he probably won't direct you the same every day, you know, and you may have unusual things happen one day and he may not have the same unusual things happen the next day, you know, and he may have great extravagant things happen today and maybe tomorrow is a little bit different, but all things are important if you're being led by the Holy Spirit in everything that you do, right? He can lead you into something that may not seem like it's big, but it's very profound. And we're going to look at that with someone's life today, how he went to do something that seemed like a small thing. It wasn't important. It wasn't anything that you would think was important or I would think important normally. But if he hadn't have done what he did, we wouldn't have 2/3 of our Bible probably today. One thing affected somebody so much that it caused them to impact their life for the Lord so much, they ended up writing 2/3 of the New Testament. Think about that today. And it was only affecting one person. Think about that today. You know, so you going to help one person is so important. Think about that. You know, you helping 1,000 people is great, but you helping one person is just as important. And, you know, we're going to see that in Ananias' life here in just a little bit. But, you know, his effect had a great deal that happened in Paul's life and helped him to be able to go forward. So we're going to talk about that a little bit today. Go on over to Acts 9, and we're going to talk a little bit about the life of Paul today. We talked a little bit about Jesus last Sunday. If you want to go back and listen to that message, we talked a little bit about Jesus and how he was led by the Holy Spirit and what he did. The Bible said the life of God is within Jesus. The life of God is within the Holy Spirit. And the life of God is in the Father. And that's how they all flow together, is because they all have the same nature. And it's that Holy Spirit living on the inside of all of us. He lives in all of us. That's why we have perfect unity if we're born again. The Holy Spirit comes in there. He causes that unity in our lives, that love that you didn't used to have, you have. You know, that peace that you didn't used to have, you have, because you're born again. So let's talk about that a little bit today. Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, as soon as Paul was converted, he started being led by the Holy Spirit. And let's look at how his life was stirred as God started dealing with him. Acts, the 9th chapter, the 1st verse says, "Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues to Damascus, so that they were found any there who belonged to the way." So basically, he went after Christians, trying to stop them. And, you know, Paul, he wasn't trying to do something wrong. He always had a heart for God. If you study Paul's life, he thought he was doing something good, you know, going after Christians. He thought they were the rebellious ones, and he was doing what God would want him to do to stop the Christian people, you know. But he has an encounter that changes his life forever, you know. And you know, we have encounters with God that will change our lives forever. You know, all of us, we do, you know. When you get saved, you have an encounter. When you get baptized with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking tongues, you have an encounter, right? When you have faith adventures, you have encounters. When's the last time you've had an encounter, right? We're supposed to be having encounters all the time. I'm not talking about old encounters. I'm talking about recent encounters. Have you had encounters with God? You know, he wants you to have an encounter all the time with him. He wants to come in your world today if you'll let him come into your world. Praise the Lord. So he's going out and getting these letters and getting the rights to go after these Christians. And he heard nearby in Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around about him. Think about that today. A light from heaven flashed all around about him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, what? Why do you persecute me?" You know, that's covenant talk, isn't it? You know, he said, they're covenant people and they're part of my family. Why are you touching me? You know, he talks that way about you. He's talking this way about Christians, you know, and when somebody's messing with you, he's messing with God. You're part of his family. You're adopted into the family of God. So, you know, he says, "Touch not my anointed for a reason, because you're in his family." Think about that today, you know. He's very protective over his family, and he loves you. And he'll move people out of your life if they're hindering you, and people that are causing problems for you. He'll move them into different directions. Some of them he'll let, you know, sharpen you a little bit better so that you're a little bit better in some areas. But if they're hindering you and trying to cause you problems, you know, God may move them into a different direction. You know, he's very protective of his family. "Who are you, Lord?" Saul said. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. And then he replied, now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Now, if Paul didn't get up, and he didn't listen to the Holy Spirit, right? And he didn't go where he was told what to do, we would have had a whole different story here, wouldn't we? You know, and he may be talking to you today, and he may be asking you to do some things, and we could have a whole different story about your life because you won't do what he's telling you to do today. Wow, that's powerful, you know? I remember my father talking about one time, you know, and he used to have sub shops, you know, and the Lord had told him to go to Rhema Bible School there, you know, in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and he waited for a year. Well, that year almost changed his whole story, you know. He started having several problems with his business and all kinds of issues happening that he didn't have to have happen because he waited longer than he was supposed to wait. You know, think about that today. You know, your story can be totally different if you're not listening to the Holy Spirit. You know, you could have a good story, you know, and I'm not saying without challenges and you're not going to deal with challenges, you know, but I'm saying though that your story could be totally different if you're listening to the Holy Spirit. He wants good things for you. He wants you to get to an expected end, is what he told Jeremiah. He said, I have an expected end for you where you're supposed to be. You know, he said, I have thoughts. You know, he has thoughts about you. And he has an expected end for your life where you're supposed to be, you know. It may not be what you expect today, but he has an expected end for you. And he wants you to be in the places he wants you to be at certain times because he has an expected end for you. And when you miss that first place, you know, and you say, well, why didn't he talk to me very much? Or he doesn't say a lot to me. It's because you missed the place where he told you to be. You know, can he trust you to go to the second place? You know, if you go to the first place, he can trust you with something else, you know. If you go to the next place where he tells you to go, he can trust you with another place he wants you to go. But it's important that you're going to the places that he tells you to do, doing what he's asking you to do on a daily basis, you know, whatever it is. What is he talking to you about? What is he talking to you today about? I'm not talking about just big things and family things. You know, what if God asked you to go help somebody today and you're the only one? He's looking for someone that's just going to be obedient, just to help somebody today. Well, you know, and it's on your heart. You can't get it off your mind today. And he knows he's wanting to trust you, you know, and then he can trust you again and trust you again, you know. But I mean, why would somebody keep asking you if you're not going to do it when they ask you? You know, maybe he's asked you 100 times and you haven't done it, you know. You know, you got to learn to be dependent or dependable. I'm sorry, dependable on what you're doing, right? You say, well, he never talks to me. Well, are you dependable? You know, when he asks you to do something, you know, think about that today, you know, and he wants to ask you, you know, but if you told you, every time he comes to you, you say, no, not today. No, I'm too busy. I got other things to do. No, not today, you know. Well, then you wonder why he didn't ask you. You know, well, he asked you before, and you're too busy. Your schedule's too full. You know, you can't do that little thing he's asked you to do. No, you need to listen to what he's telling you to do. He'll speak to you more when you do what he's asked you to do. You know, it's interesting. You know, you may have a friend call you and say, hey, I want you to go do this. And after a while, they stop calling you if you tell them no, right? You know, hey, man, every time I call him, he says no. So, Why am I going to call him? You know, and people wonder why God may not ask him to do things. You know, have you told him no over and over and over? You know, when he asks you to do something, get up and do it, and he'll lead you and guide you. Well, Paul, he says, now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what to do. You must do. You know, that shows his passion, though. You know, of course, he's very motivated because he went blind from this light. But, you know, he just got up and went. Are you one of those people who just gets up and goes when he tells you to go, showing your reliability when God asks you to do something? Those are the people he likes to use. You know, you think about Abraham, you know, I believe that's why he used Abraham so often. You know, he's like, man, Abraham just does it, you know. He said, he asked him to offer his kid. Boy, it wasn't very long. He had his kid going up a mountain. He was dependable. He could trust him to get it done, you know. Can he trust you to get done the projects that he's asked you to do? Or do you just put them on the side and you forget about them? Those things aren't important to you, you know? Think about that. Are you reliable? to God. It doesn't, you know, this has nothing to do with me and other people around you. I'm talking to you. Are you reliable to God? Right? And your circumstances, are you reliable? Can he count on you? Man, he can get some things done through you if you're he can count on you. You know, some people he has to do big projects. Look at Noah. He gave him a big project, you know, and Noah, you know, he came through with the Lord's help and got that project done, you know, and think about eternity. He's probably proud to say, hey, I built the boat. You don't think Saul was proud to say, hey, with the Lord's help, I wrote the 2/3 of the New Testament. You know, he tried to get the projects done. He tried to build the churches that God had led him to do, you know. And, you know, and think about the rewards that they get when they get to heaven. And the Bible talks about Revelations and the first seven the churches there. And he talks about the churches and all the rewards, you know. Think about all the rewards they get. You say, well, why is a reward important to me? Well, we'll see when we get to the other side. These must be pretty good rewards. They must be pretty exciting if Jesus is giving them out. I mean, just getting saved is a great reward. So these rewards must be something. When you get to heaven, they must be pretty great. I mean, if Jesus is giving them out, you know, going to be good. Amen. So you want to be a part of those rewards. So you want to be faithful here and do what God's told you to do. Well, let's go ahead and go on with Saul here. The seventh verse is, the men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. You know, they heard from sound, but did not see anyone. And Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hands into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. But now notice, if Paul did not do what he was led to do by Jesus, he might not have gotten his healing. Right? You know, if he didn't do what he was told to do and go to the place that he was told to go. Notice that he doesn't say anything about it. It says, go into the city, you'll be told what to do. He just said he was going to tell him something to do there. He didn't say he's going to get his healing there. I'm sure he was thinking his eyes were a whole lot more important right now. Jesus, my eyes, I'm blind. He's thinking that was probably more important, you know. And you know, you today, you know, he might be talking to you about something else, but he has what you care about in mind, right? Think about that today, you know. And he's talking to him about going to be told something, but his healing was involved because he went and did what God told him to do. You don't think God knows about your circumstances and what you're going through and why is it so important? Well, what he's telling you right now may have a huge impact on that other thing that you're looking for. I remember, you know, back when I was playing in a Christian band, you know, and I remember I pulled up to this little coffee house. I'd already had been doing a coffee house in my dad's sub shop. We'd been taking that sub shop, turning it into a coffee house, you know, and I'd play music and we'd try to get some people saved and get some people ministered to on the Friday nights, you know, and I would do a little bit of the word and play some music on the guitar, you know, and try to minister to some people. And we'd give out cheesecake and make some coffee, you know, in the dad's sub shop. Well, then an opportunity came where I was going to go to another sub shop, you know. Now, I didn't have to go anywhere. I could have stayed with doing what I was doing, but I felt like I needed to go there. Well, I pull up in my car, I never forget, in front of this place, you know, and I'm sitting there in front of it, and I hadn't even gone in yet. And the Lord spoke to me, said, if you'll bless him, I'll bless you. Now, think about this, you know. I mean, I could be back at the other place, and I don't know what all's involved in those blessings. I have no idea, you know, what's involved in it. But there's something about being on that path, you know, of being where he wants you to be. And at the right time, at the right place, stuff happens, you know, being about God's business. You know, why do you got to know everything? Have you ever asked yourself that? Why do I have to know everything? You know, and some people, if it's not just exactly the way that they have it figured out in their mind, or if they don't have all the details, they just won't do anything. They got to know that they're going to get the right money out of it. They've got to know they're going to have everything that they need out of it, you know. Why can't you just be about the Father's business and doing what God's asked you to do and take a little extra time out of your time to do what he's asking you to do? Great blessings could come. You could save time. You know, and he can fix a whole lot more circumstances for you if you're about his business. Amen. He cares about your business. He's going to get those things you're wanting along that path that he has for your life, and he's going to help you along that path, you know. everything's in the path that he has for your life. Me and my wife like to talk about this, and she loves to say pathways, you know. There's just something about being where God wants you to be at the right time, at the right place. Something about it, you know, and especially when he asks you to be somewhere. Where's he asking you to be today? Well, you know, a lot of things could be tied up into that blessing, you know. You know, I don't know that I'd ever met my wife if I hadn't pulled up into that place. I was there, and I ended up meeting my wife. We've been together for now, what, nearly 26 years. Think about that today. But I was there. I was where God told me to be. Powerful to think about, isn't it? You know, met some great people there. Made friendships that were formed there. Hey, got to minister to people that may have affected their lives. It's important to be at the right place at the right time. Now, you can go to lots of places in your life, right? And they can be dry and still with no adventure, and God's not there. It's just dry and it doesn't have no meaning to you. But there's something about being in that place when God asks you to be somewhere, right? There's something about being right there in his will and guidance and direction for your life. That's the right place. That's where the blessings are, right? Great friends are there. Great friends are forged there. Something about being in that place, right? Healings happen there. Prosperity cities in that place. Think about that today, you know. All the good things are in that place for you in that path that God has for your life. Praise the Lord. Well, you have to be obedient. Saul got up off the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So he led him to his hand to Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. Now notice, if Paul did not go where he's led by Jesus, he wouldn't have got his healing. Are you needing healing today? Are you needing a healing? Well, you know, maybe in a place that you may not expect it. Maybe you're not even going to church. Maybe you need to go to church. Maybe you've never been to a healing teaching, you know. Maybe you need to get where there's some healing teaching, you know. This was a minister not too long ago. He's talking to a guy, and he was saying, he said, we don't have healings in our churches very often, you know. Why do you have so many healings in your churches? Talking to a minister, you know. He said, well, we teach on healing all the time, and we have healings all the time. He said, well, isn't that crazy? You know, if they're not teaching healing, they're probably not going to have healing. You know, Jesus taught it, and then he had it in his ministry, you know. He would teach something, then you would see miracles afterwards, you know. Something to do with teaching on it. You got to teach on it, you know, if you want those things to happen in your services. You know, if I want people to be spirit-led, I got to teach on spirit, being spirit-led. That's what I'm talking about today. You know, I want you to be spirit-led. I want the Holy Spirit and you to be the dynamic duo. I want you to have adventures with the Holy Spirit, and there's nothing greater than having the Holy Spirit in your life, praise the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about just how you feel and your desires, which those are important. We can talk about that. That's a whole other message, you know. But we're talking about the Holy Spirit. You never override the Holy Spirit. All those things are set aside. You always let the Holy Spirit be the dominant one, right? You know, even your vision, you never override the Holy Spirit on anything that you do, you know. That's your place of protection. That's where you get your good leading and guiding for success, you know. You know, it's easy to pull up 50 jobs, or it's easy to pull up 50 things, you know, and say, hey, I want to go do this, you know. But it's another thing to submit to the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit guide you in everything that you do. You know, it's great to have good plans, but it's another thing to submit to the Holy Spirit and wait on his direction, right? And wait for him to guide you and direct you. What do you have peace about? You know, we're going to talk about how to be led by the Holy Spirit, but it's another thing to submit to the Holy Spirit in your life, you know. It's easy to do what you want to do and what you got. It's easy to say what you want to say, but it's another thing to submit to the Holy Spirit, you know. And what do we say? Those are the ones that are the sons of God. Those are the ones that are listening to the Holy Spirit are the sons of God. Amen. The ones that are willing to let him lead them in everything that they're doing. Praise the Lord. Well, let's get back to Paul here. Let's see. Let's read. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. Remember we talk about Ananias? The Lord called him in a vision, Ananias. He was obviously at the right place, right? And God was able to speak him, and he was listening, Are you listening today? You know, are you listening to him? Right? Or you just turn your head and, you know, he is, you know, this is actually in parentheses. It's like he yelled at him, Ananias, does he have to yell at you to get your attention? Aren't you glad he does do that? You know, he doesn't want you to miss it. He doesn't want you to not get where you need to go. And he'll make it clear to you so that you don't miss a turn. He did that with Ananias, right? He yelled at Ananias, Ananias. And he said, yes, Lord. He answered, is the Lord calling you out today? You know, sometimes he may call you out. He needs you. Are you ready to do what he's asking you to do? It's important that we're listening to the Holy Spirit. You know, this was an important thing. You know, and sometimes what you have to say is really important. I was listening to my wife talk to somebody not too long ago. I don't want to mention their name, but he was talking to somebody not too long ago, and it was a family member, you know, and they really needed her, you know, to be there on the phone at that time. You know, it's important you're there for somebody when you need it. You don't know what they're going through. You don't know how important it is. And it's important to be there for someone. She had to cut some things out to be able to talk to that person. Are you willing to cut some stuff off to be there for this, for somebody that you need to be there for? You know, are you willing to do that? You know, I called somebody not too long ago, and you know, it's like, it's important that you take times out of your schedule for those people that the Lord's dealing with you about. You know, you don't know how important it is, and you don't know if you're the only one, right? He may have dealt with 10 people today, and you're the only one that did what he told him to do. Think about that. He has to work with people. I know that's a shock to you, but he has to work with people, right? God works with people. He works with you. That's why he's given you the Holy Spirit, and we need to listen to the Holy Spirit today. Praise the Lord. Amen. And I said, yes, Lord. Thank God that he listened to the Lord. You say, why is that important? We're going to see here that he was led by the Holy Spirit. Are you willing to be ready to do what he's asking you to do today? We need to be ready for it. Notice Ananias is being led down another path by the Spirit of God. You know, Ananias had an adventure with the Lord. We're going to look at this. It's an exciting adventure. I mean, Ananias could tell us his whole life about this one story that's about to happen to him. Think about that today. And how much it can minister to other people because he just did one thing that the Lord was leading him to do. Wow. And he had a testimony to tell people for the rest of his life because he did that. I can think about things the Lord had me do, you know, and they're a testimony for the rest of my life because I did what he told me to do. And don't you have recent testimonies and not just old testimonies, but recent? We need to have all kinds of testimonies so we can relate to people and be a blessing to them and encourage them, build their faith, right? So we are having an adventure with the Holy Spirit all the time. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's look at this here. The 11th verse says, and the Lord told him, go to the house of Judas, or actually, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. For he is praying in a vision. He has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Now, Ananias, he needs to be right on with the Lord. Needs to have his faith built up. This ain't time to be getting faith. He needs to be ready, right? You know, and God's calling him to do something. He needs to be able to trust him and go down there. You know, I mean, I'm sure when he even said his name, Saul, he had hairs going on the back of his neck go up, you know, because he's thinking, man, this is the guy out going after Christians, trying to take them down. And he's wanting to kill them. Think about that today, you know, and Saul was still willing to have an adventure with God. You know, God might call you to do some things that mean the natural and just seem crazy to you, but they're important to him, you know. And we see this throughout the Bible. We see so many things that seem crazy maybe to the natural, but they're important to God now, right? You know, I mean, I remember starting this podcast years ago, you know, and I was sitting starting this thing. I'm like, just okay, you know, I was just going to do one message a week, you know, and it's had impacts on people, and shocking impacts on people that I didn't know it was going to have impacts on. But, you know, to me at the time, it could have seemed really crazy, you know, but, you know, I didn't have a lot of people that I felt like it was going to affect in my general circle, you know, but it's exciting to see how it ministers to others, you know. How much just you stepping out can be a blessing to someone else just in your, out of your world and your comfort zone. It's amazing how you can impact. And I'm not just talking about ministry. I'm just talking about placing a phone call, going over to somebody's house, dropping something off, you know. Think about the impacts it could have on their life. You know, just one thing of encouragement can take people a long ways. It's amazing how far it can take people. Just one little bit of encouragement, how much it can be a blessing to other people, you know. And it's important that you're doing these things that he's leading you to do. Are you being spirit-led today? Are you being guided by the Holy Spirit in everything that you do? Well, let's look here. He told Ananias to come and place his hands to restore his sight. Now, remember, Paul's not going to have no sight if Ananias don't show up. Well, we'd read about the 2/3 of the New Testament, and if he could write, or if he could even see what he was, or somehow figure out how to put it in Braille, we wouldn't have the 2/3 of the New Testament if it wasn't for Ananias, right? But Ananias was willing to step out of his comfort zone. He was willing to have an adventure in faith. And it wasn't something he was real thrilled about, you know? But it was important for us as Christians. It was important to God, number one. Think about that, you know, because of his faithfulness, how it's impacted the world we live in today, because Ananias was willing to step out to go help Brother Paul. Amen, Brother Saul. The Lord Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem, and he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on his name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go. So he had to be willing in his mind to say, I could get arrested. He had to be willing in his mind to say, I could go through some things when I go through this, but it's more important for me to be where God has me to be. You know, when you start off with God's vision and whatever his dream is, you need to be saying in your mind, I'm willing to face challenges. You know, we have people today that they don't think I'm going to face any challenges, you know. And no, God, you may face challenges all the time doing what God's called you to do. You can still have a joyful life and a peaceful life. It's all how you deal with and your attitude about challenges, right? There's a real devil, and there's a real fight, but it all has to do with your attitude. If you go into it knowing, hey, I'm going to come through it. I always triumph through Christ Jesus, and I'm going to get the victory every time. You know, you can have lots of blessings and have a joyous life. But if you hate every day getting up facing challenges, and you hate every challenge, and then the next one's going to toss you off track and toss you into a place that you can't take no more, then, you know, you're going to have challenge. You're going to have an even rougher life. You know, God's called us to face challenges. And he's called us to be able to come. He gave us everything to come through challenges. He gave us the strength, the ability, the power, the authority to come through challenges, right? If you don't believe me, study suffering. You'll see that there's two types of suffering, right? And we do face different sufferings and challenges as Christians. But, you know, the rewards are way better than the challenges. I don't like to give the devil a whole bunch of glory and victory, so I don't, you know, go through a whole bunch of the challenges. But, you know, you have to be a person that enjoys a good contest and a good challenge to be able to fulfill the destiny that God has for your life. You have to be able to be a person that sees beyond the circumstances and sees beyond the challenges and sees the victories that Jesus is going to bring you through all the time. Amen. You say, well, why do you say that, Jeremiah? Well, Paul went through many challenges, but he had lots of joys, right? And he had lots of great things that happened to him, you know, but he was willing to face what he had to face no matter what the circumstance it was, so that he could come through and do what God had called him to do. You know, it's amazing. You say, well, why are you talking about it? Well, you know, you think about it, because one time if you have a challenge on the way to go help somebody, you know, that knocks you out, and you never fulfill what God's called you to do. You're never going to really, truly help them, and you may not help them the next time, you know. I'm telling you in advance, you know, you're going to be way more rewarded to do what God's called you to do, and you're going to be way more blessed to keep going forward, amen, and to do what God's called you to do. Everything you have is lying forward and going straight for what God has for you in your life. Nothing's behind you. Everything's in front of you that God has for your life, right? And that's what he did with an Ananias. And Ananias is telling him, he said, these are the challenges that I could face doing this. But God's still saying, hey, you know, this is what I want you to do. And you have to be a person that's willing to oversee all those things and go after your dreams and goals that God has for your life. The 15th verse is, but the Lord said to Ananias, go. So Ananias is giving him excuses. Remember this with Moses? Well, Moses had lots of excuses. You know, no, I don't speak well. But he called him to be a great leader, right? I'm not the perfect one for this position, God. You didn't pick the right. Are you looking at me? You know who I am, you know? But God didn't ask him all that. He said, go. He's speaking to a burning bush. Probably like, why am I talking to a burning bush? But God didn't care about all that. He wanted him, and he called him. You know, sometimes you're the only one that God may call. You know, and you think about, I remember I was listening to Benny Hinn one time. He was talking, you know, and he said that he was talking to the Lord, and he was talking about Catherine Kuhlman. And he said, and when he talked to her, Catherine Kuhlman said that many people were called to do what she was called to do, but she's the only one that would go. How many people have been asked to do what you're called to do, and they don't do it? They don't fulfill what God's called, and they miss out on great blessings and opportunity. You know, we only get this life once, you know, and he may ask 20 people and they said, no, are you going to be the one that says yes? You know, are you going to be the one to get that the job done that God wants to get done? Amen. You be the one that says yes. Be the one that steps out and does what God calls them to do. Ananias was like that. Amen. He's like, hey, you can count on me. Hey, I'm going to get the job done, Lord. It says, but the Lord said to Ananias, go. This is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. Think about that. You know, he knew he's going to face challenges, but he still got to do something great for Jesus. Think about that today. You know, it's more important to do something great for Jesus than anything that you do in this life. Amen. What are you going to live eternity live with when you get to heaven? You know, you think your bowling trophies are going to be the most important thing when you get to heaven? Do you think, you know, you graduating from a certain school is going to mean anything when you get to heaven? You know, and I've graduated from different things, you know, you think any of that's going to be important? No, what's going to be important is what you did for God. Amen. What he's called you to do. That's what's going to be the most important thing when you get to heaven. And Ananias was on top of this. But the Lord said to Ananias, go, and this is a man, my chosen instrument. So we talked about that, you know. Think about the responsibility that Ananias had knowing this. He's like, hey, this is important. I'm going to affect many people. You know, some of these things that God calls us to affect so many people. You know, you think about when they opened TBN, you know, and how Paul and Jan Crouch, you know, they did the great things that the Lord used them to do. You know, how it affects so many people, you know, just something little, you know, like starting a TV station, you know, you may not seem like a lot, you know, you could probably start a TV station, you know, or you could start a podcast, may not seem like a lot, but how some of these things affect so much other people, their destiny. And you don't know that that person couldn't go on to be the president, couldn't go on to be a minister like Reinhardt Bonnke, or somebody reaches out to millions of people. You don't know. You know, but it's just important to be at the right place at the right time and your steps being ordered by the Lord. You could be the only one that speaks to that person's life. You know, they may have had five ministers speaking and you're one of them, but you're the one that relates to the person that needs to be related to, you know, because you're doing what God's called you to do. You know, some people have an anointing on them and some don't. You know, some people are sent and some just went. You know, are you sent or you went or did you just go? You know, be where God wants you to be. This is a man chosen. He's a chosen instrument, he told him. Now think about this. What happened with him? You know, he was being led by the Holy Spirit in everything that he did. And he was willing to not be led by his emotions, what he thought, because he told him what he thought about the circumstances. You know, it's interesting because we calculate everything. You know, and you don't need to calculate everything when it comes to doing what God's called you to do. It's important to think things because God gave us a brain, like I said before, but he doesn't want you overriding the Holy Spirit. You know, if the Holy Spirit says go and you don't have it figured out, You're going to have to be led and let the Holy Spirit, and you're going to have to do what he asks you to do. You know, it's important for you to be where God wants you to be. Praise the Lord. Let's look at the 17th verse. It says, "And Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. And he said, 'Brother Saul,'" I like that. He's already telling him, "Hey, you're part of my family, Saul. The Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, he has sent me to that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' Immediately, something like scales fell from his eyes, Saul's eyes, and he could see again. And he got up and was baptized." Oh, isn't that good? "And after taking some food, he regained his strength." He was baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire, wasn't he, right there? Then he had some food and he got some strength. Think about that today. All because one man showed up. He could have stayed not healed, may not have had strength, may not have gone forward. But thank God for Ananias. He was being led by the Holy Spirit. Are you being led by the Holy Spirit today? Are you being directed by the Holy Spirit today? You know, this is why this needs to be taught in every church. This is why this needs to be taught often, is because people need to be led by the Holy Spirit. We don't need to just be thinking about what we want to do, our emotions and our feelings and our intellect. No, we're supposed to be led by the Holy Spirit. And what we're doing, and that's what the Bible teaches us, isn't it? How to be led by the Holy Spirit. You know, Paul, after this, he goes to Arabia for 3 years. Why is this important? Well, there's a lot of people believe that we got the Ten Commandments there in Arabia, where he went, the region that he went to. And he went to study the Word. And he was a person that that loved to study the Word. They say Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees. Paul was educated at the feet of the great Jewish rabbi Gamaliel, and he was an educated man and received the education at the school of Gamaliel, located in Jerusalem, and one of the most noted rabbis in history. By the way, one of the most noted rabbis in history, Gamaliel. Gamaliel is recognized as a Pharisee doctor of Jewish law. Acts 5 speaks of Gamaliel as a man held in great esteem by the Jews. So he's very educated, right? But he had to be schooled by Jesus and the Holy Spirit. You know, we as educated people, and I am educated, and you may be really educated, but sometimes we need to be schooled by Jesus and the Holy Spirit, right? He says, "Come to me as like this little child." And sometimes we need to come to him as a little child and just be obedient to what he's asked us to do by the Holy Spirit. You know, he'll school you in your world, you know, and the Holy Spirit's the best teacher you could possibly have for your life. It's important to be led by the Holy Spirit in everything that you do, right? If you want a good marriage, like I said, if you want a good family, if you want a good ministry, if you want a good business, right? If you want something to be successful or you want it to go good in your life, you've got to be led by the Holy Spirit in everything that you do. Praise the Lord. And at once he began to preach in synagogues after spending those three years there at Mount Sinai. Isn't it interesting, though, where Moses gave the Ten Commandments? That's where they believe he went to study. Yeah, he wanted to be with God. He wanted to study his word, and he got enlightenment, didn't he? You know, he took time to study his word and be enlightened. He could have done a lot of different things, but he wanted to get with God and be enlightened. If you really want to be led by the Holy Spirit, you got to get with God and be enlightened, right? You got to listen to the Holy Spirit so he can lead you and guide you in your life. You know, you've got to get alone with him. You got to spend time. How important is it today to you? You know, you can spend your life with a dry life all your life, but how important is it to you to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit? You know, I like that book Benny Hinn has, Good Morning, Holy Spirit. You know, are you having a relationship with God? Not just, you know, time with God and a ritual, looking at pictures on the wall. You know, we've got lots of churches with stained glass and pictures on the wall. That's all good and everything, but do you have a relationship with him, right? Because he's talking and he's guiding and directing us. We're going to talk a lot about being led by the Spirit and how to be led by the Spirit. You know, we got lots and lots of word on how to be led by the Spirit, and you'll be surprised. You may be surprised what you do know and what you don't know about being led by the Holy Spirit. You're not supposed to be led by a prophecy or led by someone speaking to you or just a message. No, you know, the Bible says I have a more sure word of prophecy on the inside of me, right? It should be just bearing witness to what I already know, right? He knows the future. He's the director. He's the keeper of your life, the keeper of your soul, right? We got to learn to be led by the Holy Spirit and let him direct us in everything that we do. Do you believe that today? I believe the Holy Spirit can be the leader and guider in everything that you do. Amen. So let's go to the 21st verse. He said, and those who heard him were astonished and asked, isn't it the man who was raised in havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on his name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests? And yet Saul grew more and more powerful, baffled the Jews in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah. Think about that. Jesus is the Messiah. He's still the Messiah today, isn't he? What's that mean to be the Messiah? He's the anointed one, right? He's the one that comes to remove burdens and yokes. He's the one that comes to make our life better, right? He's the one that he's the great physician. He's the healer. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. That's my Messiah. Amen. And we are to be led by him. He leads you down a path that's good. We can have a family that's good. We can have a good life. Or you can go down another path that you chose. You know, it's interesting. If you're on a train and you're on the tracks and you're going down those train tracks, those train tracks can be smooth and going. It can be a little bumpy, but they're good and smooth. They take in a certain direction. But if you get the train off of the tracks, I mean, it's rough, bumpy. Oh, man, it could tear the train up. Think about that today, you know. But there's people that are just off that track going every direction. You know, there's people on basketball teams. You know, if you get on a basketball team and you're injured, and you can bring the whole team down, you know, because you're supposed to be doing something different, you know, or maybe you're not a basketball player and you're playing on a team and you're not helping them advance at all. It takes humility to say, hey, I need to be led by the Spirit. I need to be where I'm supposed to be, right? Being where I can have most significance and be a blessing to someone else. Think about that. You know, it takes humility to say, hey, I this is where I need to be, you know, and let the Holy Spirit lead and guide you in everything you do. We're going to look more at this. I'm going to go ahead and close because I went over, I think, over my hour here. But let's go ahead and pray today. And we're going to believe God for God to help us to be led more by the Spirit. We'll get more into this next week. I hope you've enjoyed this service. I'm so glad to get to be with you. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we just thank you, Father, for your goodness. We thank you, Father, for your mercy. And Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit touch people with this message, Father. Help them to get on track. Help them to be led by you and everything that they do, Father, not just by them and what they want. Help them to be led by you to have a more joyous life, a peaceful life, Father. And Father, not a life just without challenges, but a life with you, which is fulfilling to get up, you know, where you're supposed to be. Being put a smile on your face to be where you're supposed to be, Father. Help us to know that that everybody listening, that they're in that path that they need to be. And Father, we ask for it in Jesus' name. And we give you all the praise and all the glory for it. We thank you, Father, for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If you don't know Jesus today, there's no way that you're going to be on that path. You need him. You need to set your Savior, Jesus Christ, right? Well, hey, you pray with me today. You can get saved right there where you're at. Do you believe that? I believe he can do it for you right there. Just pray with me. We're going to pray out of Romans, the 10th chapter, 9th and 10th verse. It says, if I confess the Lord Jesus and believe God's risen Jesus from the dead, I shall be saved. Think about that. You want to be saved? Are you tired of playing games? Well, go ahead and pray this prayer with me today. Let's go ahead and get you going down that right path today. Father, repeat it after me. Father, I believe you've risen Jesus from the dead. And Father, I confess Jesus as Lord of my life right now. Jesus, come be Lord of my life right now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I believe if you believe that and you pray that right there, I believe you are saved right now in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Welcome to the family. We're so glad you're in the family. Hey, I'd love to hear about it. Email me at jeremiahsministries@yahoo.com. Slap me a testimony. I'd love to hear it. Praise the Lord. Put it in the comments there on Podbean. We'd love to see you on Podbean there. We'd love to see your testimony. If you're hearing this, so you can catch us on Podbean and you can throw it in the comments next week if you want to, or Wednesday. We'd love to hear from you. We love you. God bless you. We look forward to hearing you next, or spend more time with you next time. God bless you.
If you'd like to contact us for a prayer,
praise reports, or offerings, go to jeremiahsmithministries.podbean.com. Thank you for listening.